Hi, I'm really happy to be here this evening and to be part of the Pittsburgh Poetry Exchange. I've had many wonderful Monday evenings sitting with that group and hope to have many more too. I'm going to read one long poem and then several shorter poems. This poem's called Farkunda at the Shondo Shimshira Shrine. It's from A Mob Killing and Flawed Justice by Elisa Rubin, New York Times, Sunday, December 27th, 2015. It was Wednesday, Women's Day at the Shrine, when men are not allowed. Farkunda visited the shrine. She was appalled at the way the women's superstitions were being exploited. She confronted custodian Zanuddin and fortune teller Muhammad Imran. "You're abusing the women. You are charging them money for something that is not Islamic. That is not religious." The custodian said to Farkunda, "Who the hell are you? Who are you to say these things? Get lost." Muhammad Nain, who sells pigeon feed across the road from the shrine, said he heard the custodian calling out to people walking by, "A woman burned the Quran. What kind of Muslim are you? Go and defend your Quran." It was about 4 o'clock, time for the afternoon prayer. The streets were full. A crowd quickly gathered. Cell phone videos captured the first moments. "Why did you burn it?" a man shouted. Farkunda insisted she had not. Another man shouted, "The Americans sent you." She responded, "Which Americans?" He said, "Stop talking or I will punch your mouth." Mr. Naheem said a police officer tried to lead Farkunda away, but mindful of Afghan custom as well as strict Islamic teaching, she had asked the officer to bring a policewoman. The crowd broke through. Then she fell down on the ground, and the people tried to beat her and pummel her, and the police would try to help her up, and people from the other side would push her down, Mr. Naheem recalled. In the videos, Farkunda seems at first to be screaming in pain from the kicks, but then her body convulses under the blows, and soon she stops moving at all. Even when the mob pulls her into the street and gets a car to run over her, and she is dragged 300 feet, the police stand by. Muhammad Yaqub, in his eyeglass shop, heard the crowd as Farkunda was dragged behind the car and rushed out. "People were saying, if someone doesn't hit her, he is an infidel. I got emotional. I hit her twice. My third punch hit the road. My hand got injured." After going back to his shop to patch his hand, he heard the men outside still shouting and felt drawn back. The men had dragged Farkunda's body to the riverbank, and Mr. Yaqub looked for heavy rocks to drop on her. One was so large, he could barely lift it, he said. As Mr. Yaqub milled with the crowd, other men set Farkunda on fire using their own scarves as fuel because her clothes were so soaked with blood they would not light. The argument that there was no evidence on who had struck the blow that killed Farkunda made sense to both the appellate court and the Supreme Court, according to people close to the courts. It's very difficult to determine responsibility if you don't know what killed her. A person close to the Supreme Court said, speaking on condition of anonymity, Afghan women carried Fakunda's coffin, breaking the custom of staying away from funerals. On a little lighter note now, a few falls ago, we had the opportunity to spend some time in coastal Maine, and this poem is about part of that. It's called Rachel's Maine. High tide just north, a Pemaquid light, curl of road flush with spruce we came, late to Carson's tidal pool. Silver chip-chop winkle shells toss in pockets of fading shine. Plump stones like sea pups swarm the slope, some dry, some dark, still lapped by salty water. Beds of blackened kelp stretch out, pillow bones of long white stones worn to curves. Late sun shadows, low shoreward swells, ghosts of whales, lulling tubes of time. In the long sun-white room, bare feet bless morning. Hands fallen slack, fondle the sill. As Mikorski sweeps down from Bald Mountain, spring dervishes whirl, blue in belled nighties, over rough polished floors, past tall windows wide, open to breezes that touch cherry blossoms, veiling blush polished bark, conjured arms arc. Up like the white moons that bloomed high above, night clouds on this hill, in back of this house, where we were small girls. Okay, thank you. This poem's called Aleppo One. It's the mid-50s. Dad sells car and truck tires made in our small town to a businessman in Syria. This man visits our house once for dinner. He wears a white starched shirt, speaks quiet English, shows us a black and white glossy of his wife and children. That evening, he gives my parents an inlaid tray he's carried with him from Syria, a mosaic of geometric blues, grays, mother of pearl, wet clay tans, and black. I was 13 and can remember the businessman was from Aleppo. They were in the park. His wife held their small daughter's hand and cupped their infant son against her shoulder. She was squinting into the sunlight. Two dark body shadows stretched behind them on the ground. This poem's called Organizers Go West. In primal light, right off the interstate, just outside of Kokomo, dry snow rifts troughs between stubble rows, the plain flat out for gone, and orange-blue tubes pulse, low rates, nightly, weekly, monthly. And she stands in her posy nighty, hip propped against the humptop fridge, reading him something local from the morning paper, and he lounges in his red plaid boxers, lingers at the sink, downs the last warmth of morning coffee. And eggs crust a black skillet. Pox mark the dinette top. The fluorescent ceiling flickers, and each croaks a tattered dirge to the flattened presence of the other. He's been here before. She won't be here again. Champions of solidarity drive on to Kansas City. And the last poem I'm going to read is a poem that came from a prompt that Judith Robinson gave to her class, a wonderful poetry class that she teaches regularly at CMU. And the prompt was, "My soul is." Okay? This is called "How Weird." "My soul is twin to Adam's rib. It said God took that rim for good, but no one really knows where it went or how or why or when. Heaven knows Eve had no need. She just birthed herself. So here we are, fraternal twins, my soul and Adam's rib, basking absurd, floating loose, somewhere amidst the swirl of the rapidly expanding universe. Or wait, perhaps my soul is more kin to chili, with lots of lumps, plenty of goo, peppers too, sloshing around all silly." And now, the one and only Erin Novick.